They say this is dressed up in Texas. Open your Bibles, if you will, to James, the book of James. I don't know if it's possible to ever get every one of these seats filled up, but it sure would be nice.
Amen.
What are you doing to get the seats filled up?
Amen.
If you're doing everything you can, praise the Lord. If you're not doing everything you can, well, try working harder.
Amen. Amen.
James in chapter 4, let's stand and read it. We'll be reading from verse 1 down to verse 10. I'll get you started and let you read the rest of it. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Amen. Brother Bill, would you pray for us tonight?
Lord, we do ask you to bless the messenger. Bless him with the right words and the right spirit, Lord, and especially touch our hearts and make us right to receive your word. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you as a Savior, Lord, that you touch their hearts and cause them to know the salvation that you've brought for us. In Jesus' name I ask.
Amen. You may be seated. Got up this morning, my dear beloved asked me a question. She said, when are you going to start preaching? I reckon tonight. There's a lot in these verses that we see, and there's a lot we can say, but I want to make a comment, so I'll start off with a commercial break right off the bat. We're over there preaching the gospel in Poland, and we don't take a break during the wintertime. And it can get down to minus 15, minus 17, even minus 20. Probably the coldest ever been in Poland for me has been about minus 25. Not quite as cold as it got in Michigan, but it's quite cold. And it doesn't feel so cold in Michigan because you're driving, usually driving from a car, going from your own house to your garage. Get the car warmed up, run back in the house, let the car warm up, and then you go out in the car and you drive off, go to your place of learning, or you go to your job, and you're just running like you do here in Texas, from air conditioning to air conditioning. You run from heater to heater.
Yeah.
And you don't spend a lot of time out on the street.
Yeah.
But in Poland, we spend a lot of time out on the street, and you get so cold, sometimes you cannot feel your fingers anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had that experience. Sometimes you can't feel your toes. And I heard it said during this meeting, going out to eat with some of the brethren, that sometimes we get cold. You ever get cold on the Lord?
Yeah.
Or am I the only one?
No.
Do you ever get to the place where you just seem cold?
Yeah.
And the question is, how do you overcome the coldness?
Amen.
Well, you run to a heater.
Amen.
That's what you do. You get out of the cold and you put yourself in a place where you can get warmed up. And I don't know a better place to get warmed up than get around the Word of God, and hearing a good preacher preaching the Word of God will warm up your hands.
Amen.
You say, well, I tried that and I didn't get warm. Stick around a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not sufficient just running inside just for a little bit. You got to spend some time there.
Yeah.
And you get that place where you can't feel your fingers, you got a little bit of frostbite, I tell you what's going to happen. When you start warming up, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And so just stick around a little bit until it starts hurting. And then after it starts hurting, just stick around a little bit longer, and then it's going to warm up.
Yes.
And then you'll get back to warm again.
Amen.
Our problem is we got this idea that if I'm cold, I just need to stay out in the cold. Isn't that crazy?
Amen.
You find yourself, I don't know, look at this chapter here. It says here that from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Have you ever been beat up by lust?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Have you ever duked it out with lust and lost?
Yeah. Amen.
I've been in that battle quite a few times and I went home whooped.
Yeah.
Lust is with us from the day we were born to the day we die.
Yeah.
Now thank God when we get saved, we got a Spirit of God in us.
Amen.
That will fight that lust and gives a place of refuge. We can run to Him. Thank God for that.
Amen.
But I don't understand this crowd. I don't understand people that find themselves cold and that their idea is, well, I'm not going to read the Bible anymore and I'm not going to pray anymore and I'm just going to stay, I'm going to go somewhere else besides going to church. I'm going to stay home and watch TV. I'm going to do something else. If you're cold, brother, get out of the cold.
Amen.
Find a warm heater somewhere and put your hands around it. Did one of the prophets say that his word was like a fire in his soul?
That's right.
Get around the fire. He says here, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not.
Yeah.
Is that your condition tonight?
Amen.
You ever been there? Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts.
Amen.
What would happen if we got all the lusts out of our prayers?
Yeah.
What if we started praying in the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
What if we started praying according to the will of the Father?
Amen.
What if we started praying according to the Scriptures? Got all our lusts out of the way and started praying like God wanted us to pray. You know, in Poland, they pray, I guess you over here, you'd call it the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
I guess there's a doctrinal debate. Should we say it's the Lord's Prayer or is it a sample prayer? I'm not interested in debating that. Our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
That's a good example, yeah? And they repeat that prayer. But you know what? There's not a lot of I in that prayer.
That's right.
I didn't find anything in prayer about, give me a new boat, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm having trouble with my mercury out here. Would you help me out?
Yeah, that's right.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses.
Yeah. That's right.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world of the world is enmity with God? God as an enemy? And we're worried about Iran? And Iraq and North Korea and Russia and whoever else is out there? God as an enemy? I would think we'd do everything we can to be on God's side. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Are you hanging around the friends of the world or the friends of God?
Yeah, amen. All right. Amen. Right.
I haven't got to preaching yet. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain? You ever think about that verse?
Yeah.
Don't we practically live that verse in a sense? We read the promises and somehow, I know we don't ever enunciate, I've already said this, we don't ever pronounce it with our mouth. But we think it in our heart, don't we? I don't think that's going to be true. We don't ever shake our fist in God and say, no, it ain't true. But we read these promises in the Bible and somehow we act like they're all in vain. You ever got down to confessing your sin And you just feel like God's not hearing you, now God's not going to forgive you. You know where that comes from? Because you think the Scripture said in vain. He said over there, if we confess our sins, He is faithful.
Amen.
You and I are not faithful, but God Almighty is faithful, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But I said all that to say this in verse 6, but He giveth more grace. And that's my message.
Amen.
He gives more grace.
Amen.
I tell you what, He gives more grace than the world gives.
Amen.
Do you realize how unforgiving the world is?
That's right.
You mess up one time on a job and you're out the door.
That's right.
Because they don't give more grace.
Amen.
Did you ever notice the devil doesn't give you any grace? And yet, instead of resisting the devil, we're hanging around him all the time and listen to his advice.
Amen.
And we believe his accusations, especially if they're against the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever find the world is not tender? I just find it strange that we complain about God, God not caring, God doesn't care about my problems, God's not concerned about my problems, God hasn't done anything for me, and where do we go? You're going to find somebody more tender than God, more caring than God, more loving than God, more patient than God, more concerned than God. There ain't no such critter.
Amen. That's right.
Why do we ever hear, this world is cruel, I'm going to leave it. I no longer believe in the world because it's been cruel to me.
That's right.
I just can't believe in a God that allows. And then they fill in a blank. Yeah? Well, I just can't believe in evolution that allows. How's that go? Let's turn that coin around on the other side. But thank God the Bible says He giveth more grace. And I want to prove that to you tonight from the Scriptures. Look in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Religion out there will tell us you can't be saved because you committed the unpardonable sin. And they'll tell you what that sin is. It's the ones that they supposedly don't commit and don't tell you about. And they'll look down their nose at you and say, you're the one that's condemned. You're the one that's going to hell. But they commit the same sins, maybe behind the doors where nobody sees them. They're just as guilty. And they want to condemn you. The religion will not give you grace.
That's right. Amen.
But Jesus Christ will. This world will not give you grace. But Jesus Christ will. And thank God the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
Look in Romans chapter 6 while you're there, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Isn't there always somebody thinking like this?
Yeah,
oh, God's going to give more grace. Oh, then I'm just going to keep on sinning. And so God had to put this in the book just to remind you, be careful how you think, you wicked devil. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When Jesus Christ saved my soul, I did not want to any longer offend Him. That doesn't mean that I never have offended Him. I probably offend Him every day to my shame. But my heart does not want to offend my Savior. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ saved my soul and changed my life. I'm so thankful that He did not condemn me, but He gave me grace. And He gave me mercy. And where religion condemned me, my parents condemned me, my friends condemned me, and this whole world condemned me, and the accuser of the brethren accused me, Jesus Christ came and forgave. And I'm thankful for that. So when we say that He gives more grace, that's not a license for you to run out and just go do whatever you want.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't think there's anything more wicked than a person professing to be saved, that would say, well, if you believe that you're always saved and God's grace is sufficient to carry you out into eternity, then you can just live like you want. I wonder if them people are saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Makes me wonder if they've ever tasted the grace of God.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? You don't ever sin?
Right.
You know when God does a work, He does it completely?
Yeah,
there's no flaws in the work of God. And when He saved my soul, He saved me for all eternity.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
It, what if God says, I'm going to take back that salvation I gave you if you sin? How long would your salvation last? Probably wouldn't get through the first day. All right, here's the proofs. Look in Luke 13. I want to say tonight that God gives us more grace because He gives us another year.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that what we thank God for every New Year's?
Right.
In Poland, it's sort of a tradition. We have a New Year's Day meeting. And like we used to do around here, we'd have Thanksgiving meeting where everybody come around and thank God. Well, they sort of do that on New Year's Day. A lot of churches will do that. They'll get together on New Year's Day, and they'll come around and have the meal just like they do on Thanksgiving, and they'll give thanks to God for another year.
Right.
I said Luke 13, right? Look down about verse 6. And He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit unto this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, that I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. What is the dresser asking for? He was asking for mercy. He was asking for one more year. He said, Lord, you're right. It hasn't brought forth fruit, but give me one more year.
Amen.
Now, the Lord doesn't have to give us one more year.
That's right.
You got no promise of tomorrow.
That's right.
Before this night is over, some people are dying.
That's right.
Death got real close to us this week, didn't it? Came right up close. We could smell its breath, feel its breath, breathe down our necks, and took one of our loved ones from us, didn't he?
That's right.
Death is an enemy.
That's right.
And death will come in and rob us. And none of us have a guarantee that death won't come knocking at our door.
Amen.
Well, we already know He's coming.
Amen.
We just don't know when.
Amen.
But this dresser says, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dung about it, and dig about it and dung it. Is that your prayer tonight? Lord, there hasn't been fruit like we ought to be. Maybe in my life, maybe in my church, and we got that down from the sermon a while back. This is my life, my church, my Savior, my God. I haven't seen the fruit that I wanted to see. Lord, I know there ought to be more fruit. But Lord, give me one more year.
Amen.
And then what are you going to do with that year?
Amen.
You're going to be out in the fields working, doing everything you can to make sure that tree brings forth fruit? It's the grace of God that God gives us another year.
Amen.
And He's been doing that for a lot of years, hasn't He? In my life, He's been doing it for about 37 years. How long has He been doing it in your life?
Amen.
Well, I'm older than 37, but I was speaking from the time that I entered into the kingdom. Look over in Luke in chapter 18. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace when He gives us another year. Look down in verse 1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. man. Any judges like that? In America? Any judges like that? And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. Did you know that's the business of Christians? The trouble wicked judges. Jesus said, we're the light of the world, and those that love darkness don't like light. And that's why it's so important for us to live like the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live, because we're in the business of troubling people with the light of the righteousness of God. I guess I didn't convince you on that one. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what that unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect? How do you like that word? And shall not God avenge His own elect? That which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth.
That's right.
Now, this widow woman is no different than you and I. She had some problems. She suffered some things unjustly. She wanted vengeance. She wanted the case to be rectified. Is that correct? Did I understand that?
Yeah.
Don't you know that she got discouraged?
Yeah.
Don't you know the first time she went to that judge, she went down there with the greatest expectation, thinking he'd take care of it right away? And don't you know that first time she went down there and that judge told her no, or didn't give her the time of day, and she returned home? Don't you know that weighed on her soul? But you know what she got? She got more grace.
That's right.
She got up the next day and she got to thinking about that and praying about that and said, you know what? I'm going to go down there one more time. And she repeated that same process. I don't know how long, I don't know how long she stood in line. I don't know if she got to see the judge or not. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It does tell us that he did not avenge her. Until it became troubling. The Bible doesn't tell us how long or how many times this widow woman went down and bugged that judge. But apparently she got enough grace from God to go again. And isn't that the battle in our life? Do I go again when we were told no? Do I go again when it seems like all has failed? But thank God, God gives us more grace. God gave that widow woman enough grace to go until she got what she wanted.
Amen. That's right.
And may God give us enough grace, and God may God have mercy upon us and give us enough grace till He gives us what we want.
Amen.
Now, I read James chapter 4 to understand that God's not going to give us our lust. God doesn't listen to the old man. He listens to the new man. And too many of our prayers are coming out of the mouth of the old man instead of out of the mouth of the new man. And we get to praying out of the mouth of the new man, then we'll get to see God answering prayer. But I think I'm just going to stay here for a little bit because I'm concerned that you apparently weren't convinced that we ought to be in the troubling business. Now, I don't mean that we ought to rail on people.
That's right.
And I don't mean that we ought to go out there and provoke people by our lack of love or our self-righteousness or our holier-than-thou attitude. But I think we ought to go out every day and provoke people on the love and good works. And I think that where we work and where we go to school and in our neighborhood, people ought to think twice about taking God's name in vain around us.
Right,
And think people ought to think twice about loafing on the job and not doing righteously.
That's right.
They have a saying in Poland, I'm sure they have it here too, when the cat's away, the mice will play. We are called into a troubling business. Our ministry is to be a trouble to those that walk in darkness. Then, if you got any kids or grandkids, do you know how much that troubles them when you walk in the morning and flip on that light? Grandma, turn off the light! They're covering up, yeah? There's too many people going to hell because they comfort themselves in darkness. They covered themselves in darkness, they can't see the wickedness of their sin. And there's too many people, young people, drinking alcohol and taking drugs because somebody's not standing up and saying, I don't do that.
That's right.
Amen.
Just as long as all their friends and all their buddies are guzzling that stuff down, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But you find somebody that's going to stand for Jesus Christ and stand up and say, I don't do that. They've got no more excuse.
Amen.
So many of these young people, so many people, have the mistaken idea, well, everybody does it.
Yes.
Didn't your mother tell you when you're young? No, that's not right. Everybody's not jumping off the bridge, and you not ought to jump off the bridge either.
Right.
No, everybody's not doing because your mama doesn't do it.
Right.
Didn't you learn nothing from your mother?
Yes.
My mother was lost, and she had enough sense to know that.
Yes.
I wrote a little tract a few years ago called Jasna Nagape. That's Polish. There is no direct translation for that, because literally it means riding through the gap. What it means is you ride the bus without buying a ticket, or you took an airplane without buying a ticket ride. You stowed away on the ship and you're riding without having a ticket. Now we don't hear that too much about that here in America, because most of you don't ride a bus. But in Poland, when people are riding buses every day, that's a big thing, especially among students. Because students are perpetually poor, and they can't get enough money out of mom and dad, so they don't have enough money, so they think it's okay to just ride on the bus without buying a ticket. Well, I wrote this tract. And one of the things in the tract was, you're without excuse. Jasna gape, or stowing away without buying a ticket, is a violation of the Polish law and the law of God. It's in them people in fits. Got us on the radio, a talk show. We had an opportunity, and I had an opportunity to spend an hour on live radio. People were calling in, calling us a bunch of nuts. What are we talking about? And we got to preach the gospel for free. But that quiet caused quite a stir. It was on TV. It was in the newspapers. It was on the radio. It caused quite a stir. And all I did was, I just listed about four or five different excuses on why people thought it was okay to steal.
Yes.
One of those excuses was, everybody else is doing it. Well, that's not true.
That's right.
Everybody's not drinking.
That's right.
Everybody's not taking crack.
Amen.
Everybody's not shooting up.
Amen.
Everybody's not committing adultery.
That's right.
Everybody's not beating up their wives. There are some righteous people in this world that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're walking righteously, and they're walking holily, and they're walking in the Spirit, and you can see the fruit in their lives.
Amen.
How am I doing, honey? We ought to be in the troubling business. But I just went down and chased that rabbit too long. We have our text, He giveth more grace.
Amen.
That woman got enough of grace of God that she went to that judge until she got what she wanted. You say to me tonight, you say, well, Brother Brent, I'm cold and I'm indifferent. I feel a little bit lukewarm. Well, what do you want? Well, I presume by having these meetings you want revival. Well, how bad do you want revival? You want revival bad enough to go to God until He gives it to you? Isn't that what this parable is all about? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He's going to find that kind of faith? Well, he is coming, isn't he? He did promise to come, or do you think the Scripture saith in vain? He did say he's coming back. And when he comes back, is he going to find faith in your heart? Is he going to find you kneeling beside your bread and say, "Oh God, I'm praying for revival. Haven't found it yet. Haven't got it yet. But God, give me revival." You just keep on praying until God gives it to you.
Amen.
Thank God he gives us more grace and he gives us one more prayer.
Amen. Amen.
One more year, one more prayer. Look down in Genesis in chapter 18. You know the story. Genesis in chapter 18. Look down at about verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Let's call a time out right here. Does the Lord, when he looks down at you, can he say, "I know you"? Can he say, "I know you, that you will command your children and your household after you, and that they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment"? Can the Lord say of that of you? And if you've got doubts about that, then it's time for revival. That your fingers are just a little bit too cold.
Yeah.
And your heart's gotten frozen over, and you've got a little bit of frostbite on your old wicked heart. And you need to come back to God, and you need to pray to God and say, "God, give me revival. My heart is cold."
Amen.
Don't make excuse about coldness. Don't complain about coldness. Amen. Find the warmth.
Amen.
And I wanted to let you know tonight that Jesus is plenty warm.
Amen.
And he's giving out hugs. I know some of you don't like hugs, but he's giving out hugs.
Amen.
He's a comforter after all, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great..." Hello, America.
That's right.
"And because their sin was very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." Now, it seems like to me there are some people crying out about injustice.
That's right.
And God got wind of it, and he decided to come down and see what's going on. "And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous with the city, wilt thou also destroy, not spare the place, for the 50 righteous are therein? That be far from thee to do after that this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. That the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?"
Amen. Amen.
Now, I was speaking the other night about things I learned. Here's another verse that I learned.
Amen.
There's a lot of things I haven't quite figured out about God. There's a lot of questions I got. I'm like a young kid going to their daddy. "Daddy, why is this and why that?" And sometimes the daddy can answer all those questions. Sometimes he can. And sometimes they just have to let the issue go. And then the little children just got to trust their daddy.
Yes.
I learned a long time ago, there's a lot of things I can't answer. I know one thing. I know that God has got all the answers.
Amen.
And a lot of times I'm like that blind man. I don't know whether to be a sinner. Well, I do now. I know he's not a sinner.
Right.
Whether he be a sinner, no, I know not. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see.
Right.
Somebody says, yeah, we got some professors and we got some smart people. They figured out how this world evolved. You can't say there's a God. You can't say God created everything because we got it all figured out. What are you going to do about that? I don't know about that. I know one thing, that God saved my soul and changed my life.
Amen.
And that didn't come from no monkey. It came from God Almighty.
Yes, right.
No monkey's ever going to give you peace, but God gives peace.
Amen.
How can you explain some people sitting down in a jail cell praising God?
Amen.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Now there's the attitude we ought to have. I get so tired of people talking about God has to do this for me, and God ought to do that. And if there really was a God, then why did He allow all the suffering in the world? And why did this happen? And they're always accusing God. Now, the Roman Catholics, they got this idea about Ash Wednesday. Now, they're literalists. They put ash on their forehead. Now, they don't do that in Poland. They got a different version of Catholicism in Poland. They don't have time to talk about that. But they'll put a big old ash cross on their forehead, and they'll walk all around all day long as a sign of humility before the Lord. Now, that's a good thing. You say, well, that's foolish. I think that's pretty wise. I know you're going to have a heart attack. When's the last time you walked around with ashes on your head? Okay, if you got to take it metaphorically, fine. Do you understand what he's talking about here? That he's not going to God and say, God, I've got troubles, you got to answer me. They're going to God and say, God, have mercy, don't destroy me. I'm not even worthy to pray. Have mercy upon me, O God. O God, I'm not worthy. I'm but dust. I'm nothing in your eyes. But, O God, have mercy.
Amen.
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 Amen. You mark it down, and when our young children came up to me and said, Daddy, you got to do this and you got to do that, they weren't getting a thing. Some of you ain't learned that lesson. There's another thing I can't figure out. How is a little kid about this knee-high to grasshopper, how he can take this big old strapping man and just make him do anything he wants? We had a young lady come to our church, and she was having some marital problems. We were trying to help them, and one of the problems they had was that two-year-old child. She sat in our house for 45 minutes trying to get her, convince her son it was time to go. And I sat there biting my tongue, biting my tongue, biting my tongue, biting my tongue, and I said, forget it. I'm not biting it no more. I said, ma'am, you're bigger than that kid. Pick that kid up and drag him out in the car if you have to.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this begging your children to do something? Your children ought to be obeying you. Yeah, but he doesn't want to go. Who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
You want to go, don't you? Yeah, I want to go. Well, don't let him prevent you.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I'm not saying beat your kid over the head or anything like that, but I'm saying that children need discipline.
That's right.
And you ought to be running the house and not the child.
That's right. Amen.
Boy, you're getting your money's worth tonight. I don't even know how I got on that. Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. I think David said, I'm a worm and no man. Peradventure, there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for the lack of five? And he said, if I find 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again, and he said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. And if I will speak, peradventure, there be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Did you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Speaking unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Don't you know that all these verses are telling something? He's given more grace.
That's right.
He giveth more grace. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left off communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. I want to tell you tonight that God giveth more grace because He gives us one more request. And if you've got the calculating, you find out that He gave more than one.
That's right.
I know Abraham, he was a little shaking in his boots. He's a little bit afraid to go to God like this. But I think he could have probably went 10 more times. He could have went back to the Lord again. But he was afraid. He said, Lord, give me grace. One more request.
Yes.
That's grace.
God
allowed you to pray one more time. He giveth more grace. Look over in John in chapter 8. Now, I know I touched on this, but repetition is good. Don't you tell your kids as they're going out the door, look both ways. Look both ways.
Amen.
I'm not supposed to use Jason as an example anymore, so I'll use Corey. Corey and Jason used to running across the street after we told them, make sure you look both ways. I looked out the window one day, and they just running across the street, and they didn't look. And I ran out there, and I grabbed them two boys, and I said, what did I tell you about looking both ways? The fear of God was in their eyes. I said, all right, 100 times, you're going to stand on this curb. You're going to look both ways. 1, 2, 3, 4, go. You're going to walk across the street. You're going to turn around. Look both ways. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then go. Don't go if there's any cars coming. You got to teach kids right. My daddy said go. Big old truck coming down there. Especially Corey. John in chapter 8, we'll pick up the story about verse 10. You know your Bibles, you know what's going on. Religion's already condemned this woman. They had the rocks already. They were ready to condemn her soul to hell. They didn't care about her. And that's the problem with you. We want to run to religion instead of running to Jesus Christ. Religion doesn't care about you. The only thing religion wants you from you is your money. It's a business. We hear that all the time in Poland. Religion is just a business. Well, we ain't preaching religion.
Amen.
We're preaching Jesus Christ. When he found out business was going down in the temple, he threw them all out.
Right.
Why did you want to follow Jesus? He's not interested in your money. He's interested in your faith.
Amen.
And they'll deny Jesus Christ so they can go back to religion. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. But pick it up at verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You ever been caught in your sin? You know you deserve to die. Even by the religious crowd. You know you deserve no mercy because you're guilty, guilty, guilty. But my Bible says He giveth more grace. And He gave that woman one more chance. God's given you another chance, hasn't He? You've made some mistakes. You blundered. You had egg all over your face. You knew you were guilty. There was no hiding it. They caught you in the very act. They got you on tape. You're guilty. You know you're guilty. And God says, neither do I condemn thee. And He gave you another chance. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
Thank God He giveth more grace.
Amen.
Look, since we're there, look in Luke in chapter 14. They're making an excuse. Look down at verse 16. He says, "They said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes and street of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Now, did you never notice some of the excuses you've been using why you can't go to church and why you can't come?
I do. Amen.
Yeah. You find your name written down there?
Amen.
It's not spelled out B-R-E-N-T. It's there. Just for you. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said, Go unto the servant, Go out on the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want you to know that God giveth more grace when He says there's one more street. There's some still people out there that we need to bid to come. I want you to go out there and I want you to compel them to come in. Now, He's not saying go out there with a sword, stick it in their gut and say, come on, you have to come. He's going out there and say, with the charity of God and with the love of God, you persuade them by the love of God to come in.
Amen.
You compel them to come in with everything you got.
Amen.
That my house may be full.
Amen.
Why? Because everything's ready. He didn't say go out there and call fire down from heaven. In this particular case, He didn't go out there and say, go stomp your feet in front of them.
That's right.
He said, go out there and compel them to come here.
That's right.
Have you and I, as preachers of the gospel, gotten away from the compelling business? Have we gotten to the place where we're just satisfied with giving the truth so that we can say, well, I've done my duty?
All right.
I'm talking to myself now. And I figure if I'm talking to myself, I'm probably hitting you. Does it hurt you when you come back from preaching and nobody believes? Do we get to the place and try to throw the blame on God? Well, I guess God didn't want anybody saved today. I would say that if we go out there and preach with all our hearts, being filled with the Spirit of God, and we've done everything that God has asked us in the will of God and the Spirit of God, with a proper attitude, then we can say a job well done.
Amen.
But even then, it ought to hurt, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
They came back to him. He said, go back out. There's one more street. There's somebody else that needs the gospel. Go back out. One more. And thank God He giveth more grace. So one more street. Look in Luke 15. You know the story. I won't go through it all. One more lamb. He had the 99. One more lamb. One more coin. One more son. He giveth more grace.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
But He giveth more grace. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Our hearts get cold. I tell you the truth of it is, I know we use that phrase, our hearts get cold, but I think what's really the truth is our hearts get lukewarm. Very few real Christians abandon God. I mean, they just stay close enough that not too hot, but not too cold. They sort of got their foot in the door, but then they have the other foot outside the door. They just want to straddle the fence.
Amen.
They haven't quit church completely. They still show up every once in a while. We show up every once in a while, right? But we just don't go to church like we used to go to church.
Amen.
We just don't read the Bible like we used to read the Bible.
Amen.
We just don't pray like we used to pray. We don't witness like we used to witness. And I know our lives, we get into routine, right? Everybody does. If you're living life long enough, you're going to form a routine. And there's nothing wrong with routines. It's a good routine to get out of bed in the morning. It's a good routine to brush your teeth in the morning. Especially if you're going to talk to me. It's a good routine to eat a good breakfast. Well, we're talking about revival this week. And if we want revival, then we have to be careful about our hearts and our attitudes and the condition of our hearts. And if you find your heart getting cold and lukewarm, then you got to run back to the fire.
Amen.
And you say, we say, I just don't feel it. Haven't you said that?
Amen.
I just don't have the emotion I had when I first got saved. Let me give you a little secret. When you first got saved, you really weren't worried about your emotions. You were worried about your condition before God.
Yes.
And then the emotions followed.
Yes.
Why don't we get back to that place and say, what about my condition before God?
Yes.
Get to worrying about that.
Yes.
Don't worry about the emotions. And like I said, if you find your heart cold, then stick around that fire long enough till it gets warm. Thank God He giveth more grace.
Amen.
God, give us one more year. One more prayer. One more request. One more chance. One more street, Lord. One more lamb. One more coin. One more son. God have mercy. Every head bowed and every eye closed.